Okay, I'm going to have everybody stand right now and hold your Bibles up. Okay, let's say it together. This is the Word of God, and I know that is true. If you turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 30, starting with verse 1, 1 Samuel chapter 30. Okay, and we'll be reading through verse 8. Now what happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive women, the women and those who were there from small to great, and they did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voices and wept, until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam, bad pronunciation, but you know what I mean, the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, of the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them without fail and recover all. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for this day. We thank you, Lord, that you've brought us here today, Lord. And Lord, I just pray, Lord God, that you would make me an instrument today, Lord God. I pray that you'd give me the words to say and how to say them. Lord God, I just pray, Lord God, that you would touch hearts, Lord God, through your message, Lord. And we pray for healing through your message too, Lord. But all of this is for you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, yeah, so we just read about David and his men. They were out fighting and what have you. And while they were out fighting, the Amalekites came through and robbed and pillaged their land and their territory. But the interesting fact of the whole thing was how the scripture specifies that they didn't kill anybody. They basically just carried them off. And so when David and their men came back, they came back and they wept. And it says David and his men wept. So all of them wept. And so with the grieving that they all went through, they were just at their wit's end, and they wanted to stone David because of their grieving processes and blamed him since he's the leader. But David, being the leader, had to strengthen himself. He had to go to the Lord to find out what he should do. And when you look at David, the reason why he had to strengthen himself is basically his relationship with God. What was his relationship? And we hear tell that God says that David was a man after his own heart. And so basically he could have grieved with the rest of them and turned his back on God, blamed God, but he knew, being the king, being the leader, that he had to step up and show what he was made of, and show that his relationship with God was real. So his faith ran out better than the grieving processes of them, again turning their back on God. So David encouraged his own self, and even before he had an answer, because he knew that the God he served would rescue him. He knew that the God he served would give him an answer and tell him what to do. he talked to himself about God while he was out there. If you look at many of the Psalms and many of the verses and poems that David penned, it was in these situations. A lot of times he had his back against the wall. He was, at this point in his life too, he was running from Saul. And Saul wanted to kill him. But in those moments, he sat down and penned phrases that, God, you are great. Even though my enemies would hurt me, I believe that you are going to deliver me. He would pen those phrases and know that the Lord would answer his prayer. He talked about his situation. When he asked the Lord, what should we do? Should we pursue him? And the Lord said, you would recover all. And as you read through David's life, whenever he prayed to the Lord, when the Lord told him he was going to do something, he would do it. And so you know that God is not a liar. God will answer all things. Let's turn to Matthew 6:33. Okay, and it says, but seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And that's the thing. You seek after God. You proclaim him as king of your life, as Lord of your life. You put him first, and then everything will fall into place. You know, a few weeks ago, Pastor Ed, just before Pat had the stroke, Pastor Ed preached about Jehoshaphat. And what did Jehoshaphat do? Jehoshaphat sought the Lord, and the Lord told him what to do. He told him to send worshipers out. So basically, he sent the worshipers out to proclaim God, lift him up in praise. And what did God do? They didn't even have to lift a finger to go out and defeat. The enemies defeated themselves. So when we seek God, God will put everything in his proper place. You know, we have our plans, you know, where we pray to God, okay, I want, like, say you want a car. Okay, I want a Humvee, all black interior, tinted windows, spinning wheels, and I want a banging system. And those of you that don't know what a banging system is a system that thumps. Where you got 15-inch woofers and tweeters in the back seat, and when the windows are shut and you're playing it, and they're ba-boom, 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 just like that. And some of you even know what I'm talking about, because when you're sitting in your house, especially in the summertime, and you can hear it, it sounds like Jaws. Boom, 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 boom. And then the windows are rattling, you know, rattling, boom, boom. Then it gets louder, boom, 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 boom. And then they pass the highway on 75 there by my street, boom, boom. And it's real high. You could almost make out the song by that point, too. And then they keep going, and then it gets less and less, boom, 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 boom. Then it goes away. And I mean, I can only imagine how far away this guy is when that's going on, you know. But and when I was a youngster, I craved to have a car like that. I never did, but I craved to have a friend of mine did, and I rode in his car many a time because it was thumping. You know, being young, you like the loud music, and my hearing's still good, so thank God. But anyway, we're talking about our plans, and sometimes, you know, you want that car that I specified, and you pray to the Lord, Lord, I need a vehicle because I don't have one, and the Lord will give you a lime green Pinto. You know, and so you're like, you know, come on, God, I prayed for this Humvee. I mean, what's going on here? You know, and you're giving me this Pinto. But the Lord is in the business of needs. You know, he knows our needs and he knows what we should have. Because sometimes we might get something that will take the focus off of him and put it more on the new God, this new Humvee or whatever it is you want. And, you know, another thing Pastor Ed preached about too many a time in his sermon was using God as a genie. You know, sometimes we pull out that magic lamp, you know how they used to do in the movies, and you rub the lamp, oh, genie of the lamp, you know, give me this or give me that. But God is not that way. And don't get me wrong, God will give you your needs. I mean, and he'll give you your wants, too, because he knows your heart. He knows what you'll do when you get it. So, you know, I'm not saying that he won't give you your wants, but he will. But he just knows your heart and how you will deal with that. You know, and again, you know, if you seek God, everything falls into its proper place. And it also says that God does not give you any more than you can handle. You know, sometimes I question that verse sometimes, because sometimes you look at what people go through, you know, a death or a tragic murder or, you know, losing a loved one or different things like that. And it's like, man, you know, you think of that verse where it says he won't give you more than you can handle. And you start thinking how strong that person is in the Lord. I remember there was a story on TV here not too long ago about this couple. They lost, they had three children, and it was on the highway in California. Well, this trucker, there was a bend in this highway. So when you're coming around that highway, you don't see what's around the bend. Well, anyway, it was a traffic jam. And so just on the other side of the bend, you know, the cars were stopped. So the semi come around, barreling around this corner. And, I mean, just plowed into this car, killing the children. The mom survived. She was in the hospital for a long time, but killed all three kids. One of them lived to make it to the hospital, but then died the next day. Well, and anyway, they were, you know, how sorrowful they were and how hurt they were. But I remember the dad saying that they knew that they had to pray to God about it. They knew that they had to move forward. And the trucker, he had kids, and it was no malice on his part. And he went to them, and I mean, he just laid his heart out in front of them and told them, you know, I have kids, and I can only imagine what you're going through. You know, I'm not an alcoholic. I don't drink. You know, I was just, you know, it just happened, you know, and I am very sorry, but you have to do what you want to do. And so he laid his life on the line there. If they wanted to press charges, they could, but he just wanted them to know where he was at. And he also said that I'm a child of God. and told them that I believe that God can make all things right. Well, anyway, as time went on, as they were talking, you could see that their relationship with God was getting stronger. Well, and they were a younger couple, and then they, after a year or so, they decided to start having kids again. Well, they had the kids that they lost. They had two girls and a boy and a son. The son was the oldest, and then he had the two girls. Well, anyway, she became pregnant, and so they went to the hospital and everything, and had the babies, and come to find out, she had triplets. And the first one that came out was the son, because he was the oldest of the first lot. And then the two girls came out, you know, and I just wept, you know, because, you know, you think of Job, when everything got taken from him, and granted, you know, the Lord had to rebuke him, and he apologized and repented, but then the Lord gave him more than he had before. And this story, I mean, they should play that story everywhere just to show the faith of people that, you know, he gave them the kids back. You know, it's unreal. And, you know, it's just, I was surprised the news person could even keep it straight, you know, because of just how the Lord just worked in that situation. But again, getting back to what we can handle, I mean, it's our faith in God, and the Lord knows what we can handle. And so I just trust him in that. You know, we are praying for the Williamsons today because of Pat and how everything went. And when I was talking with Pastor Ed after Pat had passed, you know, he was saying that, you know, the Lord definitely knows what he's doing because, you know, he thanked God that the Lord didn't take her right away because he didn't know if he was ready for that. And, you know, and when you look at that, you can just see, you know, that, you know, God definitely knows what he's doing. He knows when we're able to handle the situations when they come forward. And anyway, then I want to talk about the devil here a little bit. You know, the devil, of course, comes to seek and destroy. And he wants to kill every one of us. He wants to distract and discourage every one of us. You know, a lot of the times when I do a sermon that week before the Sunday, I mean, I must have the hardest week ever sometimes, you know, just because of different things that happen. And with my new job now, I'm on my own now and running things and everything like that. And this week, and every time before I go to work, I pray and I say, Lord, just help me to learn everything. I mean, I don't know everything, and maybe I won't know everything, but just help me to be a good leader and to be able to troubleshoot and get things fixed and moving. You know, so I get in there this week right away Monday. Something breaks down. Somebody comes and gets you. You know, so you go and you troubleshoot and you try to get it fixed, and so you keep going. Well, then by Thursday, I'm like, well, I got to have an easy day this week. I got to. There's got to be a good one that comes out of this. And Thursday came, and there was no hope, you know. And so as we were running this pouch line that puts caps on the bags. Well, it wasn't putting the caps on straight. And when I was an operator before, they didn't have that machine, so that's the one I'm still learning. Well, anyway, I'm thinking, right away as I'm walking out to the to the floor, I'm going, Lord, I don't want to learn anymore. I said, I don't want to learn nothing. just stop it right now. Just take that away from me. So, but yeah, the devil, he wants to discourage you and turn you and do it. And I thank God that I had the ability to at least say that in a joking way, because, you know, I could have been upset. I could have been mad and like, Lord, why? What's going on here? You know, but I didn't. I just was like, Lord, please help. And a lot of the things are easy fixes, and that one was an easy fix too. So I just thank God for that. But again, the devil, he wants to kill you, he wants to destroy you, he wants to take you out. And so whenever you're doing anything for the Lord, just beware that the intensity builds. The intensity that as you're trying to get to that goal, as I'm trying to get to Sunday to preach the message, he's going to put everything in your path. He had Sherry and I arguing yesterday, you know, because of it. Just a little misunderstanding. It was nothing even major. Just she thought I said one thing and I didn't. And so, you know, but then we know the attacks of the enemy. And so we come together and apologize to one another and then pray and then just know that the devil's not going to win that one. So that we can just continue to strive and keep going forward. Okay, let's turn to John 16:33. Okay, John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And that is real down to earth statement that Jesus gave us. You know, granted, he is the Savior. He came here to die for our sins. But he's letting you know that troubles will come, that the enemy is going to come, that he's going to attack you. He's going to do everything possible to knock you off. He's going to do everything possible to keep you from going forward. He's going to try, just like he tempted Jesus when Jesus was here. He tempted the Savior. You know, is that a stupid person or what? You know, when you're going to tempt Jesus, when he come from heaven to earth, and you're going to tempt him. And you know, just like Jeff shared that video last week with Evie Hill, hit him with scripture. You know, it is a good tool to use. Jesus died for us. Jesus has the keys to death, hell, and the grave. So that's our hope right there, that Jesus is going to take care of us. Even though we're in trouble, we know to go to him. And not only that, also be doers of the word, not hearers only. You know, a lot of the times when we were talking about David here, and David's penned a lot of the Psalms. As you're reading the Psalms, pray them back to God, because those are prayers that David wrote to pray to God. He wasn't writing them that someday he knew that the Bible was going to be the best-selling book on earth. He wasn't doing that. He was doing that because of his relationship with God at the moment. He wanted all of us to be encouraged by his words, that we should follow those words and use them as fuel, and also hit the devil with scripture with those. And that the battle is not ours, but the Lord's. Again, with Jehoshaphat, we talked about when he sent them forward with the worship team. The Lord came through and fought. And there was many a times in the word where the Lord would send people out and send the groups out, and they wouldn't even have to lift a finger to fight because the Lord took care of it. And God does that in our lives. He goes before us. As we lift him up and praise him and seek him first, the Lord is laying the foundation. He's laying everything in order to take care of that situation. Again, some things might not come out the way you want them to, but God is in control, and we just have to trust him for the will of our lives. When I was in college, I played football in college, and I played defensive line. So in college, you have a lot more coaches, so you have all these different position coaches. And so we'd go off the defensive linemen, we'd go off on our own. Offensive linemen go off with their coaches. And so those coaches would instruct us and teach us different techniques to use, you know, swim techniques, push-pulls, you know, different techniques like that to combat the enemy, which at that point was the offensive lineman. And so then after we'd be together for that 45 minutes or an hour, then next year, you know, it would be time to clash with the offensive line. So we'd come together, and we go through a pass rushing drill or whatever. And so the thing that you got to realize, now that we were being coached to combat what they're going to do, they were being coached to do different things. Now, I don't know if many of you know football, but offensive linemen hold. They grab hold of your uniform just like it's theirs, and they want it. So, you know, we're in practice, and so we're practicing, and then we're going through this, and all of us are just crying. And when I mean crying, complaining. Coach, man, they're holding us, coach. They're holding us. You know, they're not supposed to be holding us. That's illegal, you know, and stuff like that. So the coach, he got mad. And so we thought he was going to get after them for holding, you know, tell them not to hold. He got mad at us. He told us, so what? And we're like, what do you mean, so what? I mean, you're supposed to be on our side here. You know, he says, now, what were we doing over there for that 45 minutes to an hour? What was I showing you? He was showing us all the things we needed to do to stop from being held, even if they're holding you, to break the holds. And, you know, and that's just what the Lord is wanting us to do. He's telling us, I've supplied you with scriptures. Use them and hit them, just like Evie Hill said. Hit them with scripture. Use those. Don't just sit and say, woe is me, have a pity party, and then just, you know, not do anything about it. Use what the Lord has given us. Use these scriptures. You know, I was probably about a year ago, I was kind of in a bad way for some reason a week or whatever. And, you know, I wasn't liking my job, and, you know, I've been praying to get a new job. I wanted to get out, and it's like every time I went there, it's like that demon was sitting at the door waiting for me to come in and just torment me when I got in there. And I think that morning, actually, it started. I think I woke up on the wrong side of the bed anyway. And you know, I got to work, and usually I always have my Bible with me at work, but in the summertime when I take my breaks, I usually go out to my vehicle and just get in a secret and quiet place. And that day I needed to get in a quiet, secret place. And so I had my Bible with me. And a lot of the times when I'm in that situation or whatever, you know, unless I get a scripture that I want to read, basically I just open it up. And then whatever it opened up to, I just, whatever my eyes hit, that's what I read. And so my eyes fell on Psalm 73, verses 21 to 28. And I was, and like I said, I was in a bad way. I was angry, and I was kind of, in a way, not being a good Christian either, because when something was bothering me, like, I always felt that everything was being piled on my plate at work, and it was just too overwhelming for me. And so I felt that I wasn't really showing, you know, I wasn't swearing at anybody or anything like that, but I was just angry. And and I started reading. I opened up the Bible and started reading Psalm 73, verse 21 through 28. Then it says, verse 21, "Then I realized that my heart was bitter, and I was all torn up inside. I was so foolish and ignorant. I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you. Yet I still belong to you." So I stopped there, and I said, "You got to be kidding me." I said, "You got to be kidding me. I mean, reading this, and I'm bitter," and the Lord spoke to me right away. You know, it wasn't a voice, it was right out of his word. And, you know, I'm laughing at this time. So instantaneously, when I read that, that veil of anger and bitterness and just woe is me just lifted instantly. So I'm reading this thing and I'm laughing as I'm reading it, you know, because the Lord answered me and delivered me from this so-called despair that I was in. So I kept reading, and it says, "You guide me with your counsel, leading me to the glorious destiny. Whom I have in heaven, who do I have in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail, my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. Those who desert him will perish, for you destroy those who abandon you. But as for me, how good is it to be near God? I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things you do." And I mean, that I called Sherry right away and told, "Hey, you got to read Psalm 73, starting with verse 21. And you know, how that just blessed my heart. I mean, I walked in there, I was almost skipping in there, you know, and really wasn't, but I almost did. And but I was really happy. And I mean, my whole demeanor changed and everything. And I just thank God for not being so big of a God that he just let me stew in that. Knowing that I wasn't right and going to the Lord, God honored that, just like David did. When they were grieving, when their family and things were taken, he went to God, and God honored that and blessed him. And so what I'm going to do right now is just turn to 1 Samuel 30, starting at verse 16. And I'm not going to read it. Well, I wanted to read some of this other part, but I didn't want to get too hemmed up in the reading, but just going to break it down for you. When the Lord told him to go forward, he put together his men, and they were going to get their family back. Well, as they were on their way, they encountered an Egyptian boy, and they asked him who he was, and he said that he was a slave to an Amalekite. And so they figured that they could use him to find where these Amalekites were encamped. So as they fed him, because he hadn't eaten and drank for 3 days, so they fed him and gave him everything, and then he took them to where the Amalekites were. And this is where we're going to get picked up, where we're going to pick it up at in verse 16. "And when he had brought him down there, they were spread out all over the land, eating and drinking and dancing, because all of the great spoil which they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. Then David attacked them from the from twilight until the evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped except for 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which had been taken from them. David recovered all." And that was the promise. The Lord told him that if you pursue them, you will recover all. And just just to be a great example that David was, that he, being a good leader, showed them how he should be and how everyone else should follow in those footsteps to be a great leader and to honor God first, put him first, and then keep everything, put him first and everything else will fall into its proper place. I just, the Lord gave me this, and basically I just called it encourage yourself in the Lord. Just be encouraged. You know, Darcy back there, just continue to be encouraged, Darcy. And I say that for your dad and your sister and your brother and their families, just to continue to be encouraged that God is in control and that God definitely knows what he's doing. You know, sometimes we might question him in the way he does things, but we just need to trust and honor him. And I just thank God for always being an example, always leading and showing us what he's going to do in our lives and keeping us strong. And even as a church body, just showing us that how we come together when one of us, when someone in our body is hurting, how we come together as a family and just pray and keep everyone, you know, in prayer and pray hard, too, because, you know, the devil hears those prayers and he runs. You know, as much as he wants to discourage us, when he sees us strong and coming forward like we are, he's angry. So just continue to take this message and just be encouraged. Let's bow our heads.